Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. Would you say that you have a lifestyle of circumspect Christianity? In Colossians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul declared, quote, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism." How much does your daily life line up with these verses? Let's open our Bible now that we might learn to live a life of circumspect Christianity.
Well, good morning and welcome to another teaching. It's a Tuesday morning here in Texas. We just came from Bible study with the Kingdom Discipleship leadership. Man, it was just a good Bible study. Are y'all in a good Bible study? You know, when you're listening to these teachings or watching these teachings, this is hopefully good Bible study for you, but nothing replaces just being together with others studying the Bible. I mean, we provide these so you have this for your life, and that's, you know, we're excited about that, and we're blessed that we get to do it. But just getting together with other people and studying the scriptures is, you know, there's really nothing better. So, man, just a good Bible study today. What we're going to talk about today? We're only going to look at three verses. Colossians 3, 23, 24, and 25. And, you know, what we're going to talk about is circumspect Christianity. That's going to be the title of this, circumspect Christianity. I looked for a definition on circumspect, and here's the one I like best. Being circumspect is to have a careful consideration of the consequences regarding anything you say or do. I like that definition, right? A careful consideration of the consequences. And consequences can be very good or they can be bad, right? But to be circumspect is to have a careful consideration of the consequences. And we want to have a circumspect Christianity. You want to just consider, you know, your life and, you know, how much of your life, you know, are you living in a way that's pleasing to Christ, looking to please him. Again, Colossians 3, 23, 24, and 25 will be the outworking of this. And having a circumspect understanding of these verses, if you will really begin to work on that, your life will take on a power and a meaning and a joy that you really did not know was possible. So, Father, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. Father, we thank you that we get to do this. Father, above all, we thank you for Jesus, our only Lord and Savior and Master and King. Lord Jesus, we thank you for becoming a human man for us. We thank you for living a perfect, righteous life on our behalf that we could never live. We thank you for dying a torturous death on the cross that we deserve to die. And we thank you that you're alive and risen, and we worship you today. Holy Spirit, we ask you to lead us and guide us now as we open your word. Give us eyes that see, ears that hear, and hearts that understand. In Jesus' name and for Jesus' sake, amen and amen. Okay, Colossians 3, 23 to 25. Paul says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Now, there is a lot of circumspect Christianity in those three verses. There's a lot to give a careful consideration to in these three verses, because there's going to be consequences one way or the other. They can be really good, or they can be unpleasant. And we have the choice today. You and I have the choice when we read these verses. It's the Word of God. It's the living Word of God. It's absolute, unequivocal truth. We're told, whatever you do, three words, everything you do, whatever it is, work at it with all your heart. Jesus doesn't want half-hearted Christianity. He doesn't want lazy Christianity. I remember Oswald Chambers, if you're looking for a good devotional, I don't think there's a better one. There's all kinds of new ones out there. There's thousands. But in my humble opinion, I think the devotional, My Utmost for His Highest, it's called My Utmost for His Highest by Oswald Chambers, is by and far the greatest devotional that's ever been put together. Again, you can get it anywhere, My Utmost for His Highest. And there's 365, just one page, daily devotionals that are chock full of scripture and immense revelation from this incredible man of God, Oswald Chambers. So I would recommend it, My Utmost for His Highest. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Oswald Chambers, and I don't know which day it's on. Again, there are 365 days. You read each one as a part of your devotion every day. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Chambers said, you heard me just say that the Lord doesn't want half-hearted Christianity. He doesn't want just Sunday church Christianity. Oswald Chambers said that Jesus would rather have one disciple than 100 converts. Think about that. We're told in Matthew 28, 18 to 20, you know, Jesus said, all authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And I am with you always, even to the end of the earth, right? Even to the end of the age, right? So, you know, a convert is someone that's professing to have received Christ. They say, I believe in Jesus. A disciple has been converted. You can't be a disciple of Jesus if you're not saved, if you haven't received him as your Savior. But Jesus told us to go and make disciples. A disciple is a disciplined follower of Christ, someone who's spending time with Jesus every day. It's an apprentice of Christ, someone who's laboring, working hard to model their life after Jesus Christ, our Lord, in everything. Spiritually, physically, emotionally, financially, and relationally, you're wanting to be more and more like Jesus. We're called to be disciples, not just converts. Circumspect Christianity, whatever you do. All right, so when you hear me say that, whatever you do, every person listening to this ought to have a check. You ought to have a check in your spirit that says, yeah, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. Not for men, not for human beings. Yeah, there's some things in our lives that we're not working at with all our heart. There are things where we're half-hearted. Jesus is not interested in half-hearted anything, okay? Except half-hearted things that we do. We should be half-hearted at unprofitable things. You should be half-hearted at watching Netflix. We should be half-hearted at scrolling Instagram. We should be half-hearted at, you know, playing games or whatever it is. That's the things we should be half-hearted about. But in our service to Christ, and others for Christ, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. To work at it with all our heart is to have a heart for Jesus, to do it unto Jesus and to make it your priority. I told the guys in Bible study today that, you know, one of the biggest problems, one of the biggest immaturities, and it's everywhere in Christianity, it's everywhere in the world. It's rare that you'll find a mature Christian that doesn't have this philosophy. But if you find one, man or woman, man, you want to get to know him and help be like him or her. But is to find a Christian that working unto Christ is such a priority that their work for Christ, they're going to get done before other things that they like to do for fun. They're going to get their work done before they get their fun done. Okay? Here's a way that you know that you're still immature. There's a very immature aspect of your walk with Christ. When you have fun things that you like to do, whatever they are, I love doing fun things. But when you have work for Christ, let's say you have one of these teachings that you want to listen to, or wherever you are, you're a Bible study leader, you're working in the church, you're a minister, you're a pastor again. Whatever your work is for Christ, if you have work that needs to be done, with all your heart, you want to work at that and get it done before you get your fun done. But almost all people want to have their fun now. They want to have their fun first, instead of getting their work done first. We ought to have a devotional life in Christ, okay? Now, this isn't religious, okay? You know, if you wake up in the morning and, you know, you look at your phone, okay, that's fine. But you ought to begin engaging Christ early, okay? You've heard me say that, you know, when I get up in the morning, it's not, you know, not a few minutes before I get out of bed that I start my day on my knees in prayer to Jesus, just a minute or two. But if you're able, you ought to get down on your knees and just posture yourself in submission before Jesus. If you have young children, you know, whatever, 12 and under, they ought to see you kneeling with them in a posture of submission before Jesus. It can have and will have profound effects on their lives as they remember when they get older. My mom and my dad, we used to get down on our knees and pray together, you know, in a posture of submission with our hands folded before Jesus. But you want to have a work at it with all your heart mentality, and a heart that's working at it, you know, with all your heart, you know, it doesn't mean you don't enjoy yourself. It doesn't mean you can't watch a television show or Netflix or Amazon or whatever it is. It doesn't mean you can't play a game. It doesn't mean you can't have fun or watch a ball game. But the work you have unto Christ, whatever you're doing unto Christ, whatever the Lord's given you to do, and a big part of the problem is the majority of Christians don't even have any work that the Lord's given them to do. And he has. They're not aware what it is. They've been gifted at many things where they can serve the church. They can serve in many different ministries. They can serve, you know, the kingdom of Christ in many, many ways, but they don't know what to do. You know, I've told you before, if you ain't got nothing to do, you know, you should be able to be in a good Bible-based church and they'll find ways for you to serve. And if not, you can email and go to our website, kingdomd.org, and, you know, we can give you something to do. But you ought to have a devotional life every day where you're spending time in the Word of God, where you're spending time in prayer and praise and thanksgiving, where you actually have time in fellowship with other believers, where you're encouraging others in their walk with Christ. Again, you know, in our ministry, the guys are exhorted, and most of them do it. Some do it very, very well. Some are hit or miss. But they're exhorted to get gospel tracts out every day. You can go to our website, kingdomd.org. We've written gospel tracts. You can print them. You just hit print and it'll print on, you know, 1 8x10 piece of paper. It's written in a way where it folds up beautifully, and you can leave these gospel tracts out. And when you do that, you're getting the gospel out. you're getting the incredible gospel out. And so again, that ought to be in your heart, that you're going to spend some time. You know what? For some people, it's hard to hand it to somebody, a gospel track, but anybody can leave them somewhere. Anybody can put it under a car windshield. Anyone can leave it in a grocery aisle at the store. You know, when you're walking down an aisle and, you know, you just put it there by the tuna fish, right? You never know what the Lord will do. You're getting the gospel out. You're getting the power of God unto salvation out, right? What is it? Romans 1, you know, 16 and 17, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for all who believe, right? But, you know, we ought to be making this our priority. So again, examine your life. If you're still one who, now this should be in anything, right? But absolutely in your service to Christ, but you want to be the type of person who gets work done first, whatever it is, okay? But particularly your work for Christ. But if you have work for your job, you know, do your work first. Get your work done before you get your fun done. We tend to live a lifestyle where we want to have our fun now. We always want to have all our good things now instead of getting our work done. And then you're free to do your fun things afterward. Verse 23, Colossians 3, whatever you do, think about that circumspectly, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. Considering the consequences, how much do you work unto Christ with all your heart? I have a lot of room for improvement. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, not for human beings. Even whatever you're doing, wherever you're serving, even whether it be in your job or anywhere else, ultimately you ought to do your job as if you were working for Jesus himself. Jesus himself is your ultimate boss. But, you know, we ought to be working hard and working with all our heart. You know, Jesus doesn't want us to do anything half-hearted. So if you just stroll into work, you're just passing the time just to get a paycheck, that's not the heart of Jesus. You want to work at your job as if Jesus was your direct boss, because he is. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Verse 24, there's a consequence to this. Circumspect Christianity. As working for the Lord, not for human beings, verse 24, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. So, how you're living this life in Christ will determine your heavenly reward. It'll determine how you experience heaven. It'll determine how close you are to Jesus in heaven. It'll determine your position in heaven. We don't get to heaven by anything we do. We don't get to heaven by any work at all. You cannot work with all your heart and get to heaven. Not the best 5 minutes I live would send me straight to hell. But how you live your life in working unto Christ and his kingdom, and how you use your time, talents, and money will determine your inheritance and your reward. Work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. So there's a consequence to how much we are laboring in love to serve Christ and his kingdom. Again, how much of your time, your gifts and your talents and your money are you using in service to Christ and his kingdom? As working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. I said to the guys today, that's something we ought to say. You know, we ought to say that throughout our day. 5 times a day, remind yourself, it is the Lord Christ I am serving. It is the Lord Christ I am serving. Lord Jesus, it is you that I am serving. Colossians 3, 24. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Jesus is your master. You are his servant. You are his slave. We talked about it this morning. Our problem is that's not something it's rarely on the forefront of our mind. It is the Lord Christ I am serving. Say that over and over and over. You ought to say it to yourself 3, 4, 5 times a day. Remind yourself of Colossians 3:24. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. It is the Lord Christ I am serving. And then I said to the guys this morning, verse 25, you know, I would like to think it's unnecessary. You know, it would have been fine. This chapter would have worked without it, but the Holy Spirit led Paul to put verse 25 in here. Everything's rolling along well, right? It's very nice. It's, you know, it's a beautiful exhortation. But Paul has to leave us with a serious consequence, with a threat that will be carried out. And, you know, I like it. I like it when Jesus talks to me nicely. Is it necessary that he reminds me that there'll be a consequence for not doing this? It's all really good, right? Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men, since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. Amen. Let's go do it. But no, there's one more verse. Paul has to just throw this in here to keep us in check. Verse 25, anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. Golly, Lord. Again, it's just circumspect Christianity. A careful consideration of the consequences. So Paul tells us to do this, whatever we do, work at it with all our heart. What we don't get is when we read this verse, anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. What we tend to think about is just, you know, overt sin there. Anyone who lies will be repaid, and that's certainly true. There is a consequence to this, and we do undergo discipline. Now, I will say, whatever wrong we've done, if we go before the Lord and we genuinely repent, the discipline will be certainly less severe, if not far less severe, similar to any parent when parenting their children. If you have a child that's earnestly sorry, that earnestly apologizes, and that they're contrite, and, you know, they ask forgiveness and they repent over whatever their poor behavior was or whatever they're misbehaving in, certainly your discipline to that child is going to be much different than a child that's just obstinate and doesn't care and says, I ain't changing anything. Any sensible parent is going to discipline that child more severely, meaning, boom, I'm taking the phone away, I'm taking the car away. That's not going to work. That dog won't hunt, right? So when Paul says here in verse 25, anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong and there is no favoritism, that certainly replies to any sin. But what it's applying to in this context is not doing everything with all your heart. That's wrong. It's wrong for us to have a half-hearted Christianity and we'll be repaid accordingly. And there's no favoritism. Do we see that? You can't have a lazy Christianity. You can't be lazy in your Christianity and think that you're just gonna, you know, you're gonna be blessed. You may be coasting along in life, but there is a material consequence, and you don't want it to be until you stand before Jesus that you realize, you know, how much you and I wasted our lives in half-hearted Christianity. What is half-hearted Christianity? It's Christianity that's not making an effort to be a disciple of Jesus. You really don't think about the will of Jesus in your life very much at all. You're really not focusing on how to use your time, your talents, and your money very much at all for Jesus. You have areas of your life where you're not worried about being conformed to Christ. You're not concerned about being an apprentice of Christ. You have certain areas of your life where you're not trying to make them a priority in Christ. Now hear me, if you have a half dozen that you're working on, yeah, none of us are perfect, but everyone knows if they're half-hearted in their walk with Christ. How serious are you in bringing every aspect of your life under Christ? How much are you surrendering to his lordship and his kingship? Or, you know, how many things in your life? Again, all of us have things that we're not doing perfect, but how many things in your life do you have that you don't want to bring into submission to Christ? Anyone who does wrong, verse 25, will be repaid for his wrong, and there is No favoritism. Very powerful verse. Jesus doesn't play favorites. If you're earnestly living a life to walk with him, if you earnestly repent, a mature lifestyle, a mature Christian with a mature devotion to Jesus has a growing lifestyle of repentance. A sure way to see a Christian that's immature. And the problem is the church is immensely filled with Christian leadership, pastors, elders, deacons, life group leaders that have blatant immaturities in their life. Here is one of the clearest ways to find an immature Christian. And even and particularly if they're in leadership, you want to take a note of this. Again, meaning they have any title in any church anywhere, is when they don't have a consistent lifestyle of repentance, where they're seemingly unaware that there are areas of their life that need serious improvement. John MacArthur said that when you're a brand new Christian or when you're a baby Christian, you sin a lot more, but you care a lot less. But as you grow in Christ and you mature in Christ, you sin less, but you care a lot more. And you have a humility about that, a willingness to acknowledge that. And again, this is something that I've seen is just, it's an epidemic in church leadership where they don't have a lifestyle. You should be able to ask your Christian leaders if they have a daily lifestyle of repentance, and they should say yes. Many wouldn't even understand the question. Are you examining your life on a daily basis? Do you see the aspects of your life where you need repentance? An immature Christian is only thinking about, overt sin. Am I lying? Am I, in adultery? Am I looking at pornography? Okay, yes. But the more you mature, the more you'll be grieved over areas of your life like selfishness or where I'm self-seeking, right? 1 Corinthians 13 says, love is not self-seeking. Love keeps no record of wrongs, okay? Love doesn't talk about people in a negative way when they're not around, okay? So again, as we grow and mature in Christ, and this is important for every single one of us, but if you're in Christian leadership, this ought to be a daily part of your life of examining yourself, being convicted just over areas of your life where you need improvement, and there ought to be a daily repentance. Anyone who does wrong will be repaid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. So begin today. Start today to have a more circumspect Christianity. Read and reread Colossians 3, 23 to 25. And every day, remind yourself, it is the Lord Christ I am serving. It is the Lord Christ I am serving. And again, the more you have a circumspect Christianity, the more just meaning and power and joy your life will have in every way. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your mercy, your favor, your goodness, and your grace on our lives. We thank you for our Bible, Father. Holy Spirit, we do ask you to convict us. We do ask you to help us to be more circumspect in our Christianity, to really, truly consider that there are consequences to how we're using our time, our talents, and our money. There are consequences to our half-hearted Christianity. Lord Jesus, I ask you to help us to repent and help us, Lord Jesus, to live our lives more and more. Convict us, Holy Spirit, to live our lives more and more as disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord, as apprentices of Jesus Christ our Lord, just consistently wanting to bring every aspect of our life in alignment with Jesus more and more and more and more. Father, it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen.